Yes, sir.
At what salary?
I had £4 a month in my last place.
With me, madam, you would commence at £100 a year.
100? What would my duties be?
Just looking after the one child and obeying any little commands from my wife. You see no difficulty in that?
None at all, sir.
For example, you would not object to wearing any dress we might care to give you?
No, sir.
Or to sit here or there? That would not be offensive to you?
Indeed not, sir.
Or, before you come to us, to cut your hair quite short?
The Copper Beeches by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Peter Mackey. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Imogen Stubbs as Violet Hunter and Roger Hammond as Jeffro Rucastle. The Copper Beeches.
It was a cold morning of the early spring, and we sat after breakfast on either side of a cheery fire in the old room at Baker Street. A thick fog rolled down between the lines of dun-coloured houses, and the opposing windows loomed like dark, shapeless blurs through the heavy yellow wreaths. Sherlock Holmes had been silent all the morning, dipping continuously into the advertisement columns of a succession of papers, until at last, having apparently given up his search, he had emerged in no very sweet temper to lecture me upon my literary shortcomings.
I suppose you can hardly be open to a charge of sensationalism, Watson. For out of those cases which you've been so kind as to interest yourself in, a fair proportion do not treat of crime in its legal sense at all. The small matter in which I endeavour to help the King of Bohemia, the singular experience of Miss Mary Sutherland, and the problem connected with a man with a twisted lip, and the incident of the noble bachelor, were all matters which are outside the pale of the law. But in avoiding the sensational, I fear that you may have bordered on the trivial.
The end may have been so, but the methods I hold to have been novel and of interest.
Now, my dear fellow, what of the public, the great unobservant public, who could hardly tell a weaver by his tooth or a compositor by his left thumb cared about the finer shades of analysis and deduction? But indeed, if you are trivial, I cannot blame you, for the days of the great cases are past. Man, or at least criminal man, has lost all enterprise and originality. As to my own little practice, it seems to me to be degenerating into an agency for recovering lost lead pencils and giving advice to young ladies from boarding schools.
Oh, my dear fellow, I hardly think it has come to that.
No? This note I had this morning marks my 0 point, I fancy. Here, read it.
Dear Mr. Holmes, I'm very anxious to consult you as to whether I should or should not accept a situation which has been offered to me as a governess. I shall call at 10:30 tomorrow if I do not inconvenience you. Yours faithfully, Violet Hunter. Do you know the young lady?
Not I.
It's 10:30 now.
Well, then I have no doubt it was she who rang the bell.
It may turn out to be of more interest than you think. You remember that the affair of the blue carbuncle, which appeared to be a mere whim at first, developed into a serious investigation.
Yes.
It may be so in this case also.
Well, let us hope so. Come. Miss Hunter, I presume.
Mr. Holmes.
Indeed. May I introduce my friend and colleague, Dr. Watson?
Miss Hunter.
Who may well be able to throw some light on your problem.
You will excuse me troubling you, I'm sure. But I have had a very strange experience, and as I have no parents or relations of any sort from whom I could ask advice, I thought that perhaps you would be kind enough to tell me what I should do.
Pray take a seat, Miss Hunter. We shall be happy to do anything we can to serve you.
I think you would find this chair the most suitable.
Thank you.
Now then, tell me about this strange experience.
I should perhaps begin by telling you I have been a governess for 5 years.